You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit bpn.fm to discover more.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24, Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So we have Eric Whitaker, who is a choral composer and music director, and is famous for his virtual choirs, where he has thousands of people from all over the world sing his songs to make a beautiful music video. Hi, Eric.
Hey, Mason. Thanks for having me.
No problem. How are you?
I'm good. It's... I'm sure you're feeling the same. It's a surreal time. It's utterly surreal. I haven't seen very many people or my friends in a long time. I haven't been able to see my parents in over 6 months. So it's a strange time, but all in all, I'm doing well. Thank you.
Can you talk about how you got to where you are?
Yeah, let's see. Well, I started in high school when I was about your age, just a little bit younger. I was a computer nerd. That's really where I started. And in these days, in the mid '80s, computers were a much more novel thing. A lot of people didn't have them. And I programmed on a little computer called the Commodore 64. We had one at school, and so I would go in at lunch and work on this. And around that time, I discovered computer music. And there were all of these bands like Kraftwerk and Tangerine Dream that at the time were making music only with computers. And to me, this was just the greatest thing I'd ever heard. And so I spent basically my entire high school career writing electronic music in my bedroom. I had synthesizers and drum machines. I didn't read music and I didn't know anything about classical music. That's just what I did. And I thought that's what I was going to do with my life. And when I went to college, the first week, I got tricked into singing in the choir, in a way, by this choir director. And the first piece we sang was a piece by Mozart called The Requiem. And it changed my life. In a single rehearsal, my whole life was changed. And from that day on, I think I knew I wanted to be not only a classical musician, but a composer and a conductor.
What's your process of writing the songs that turn into virtual choirs and other pieces?
I'll describe what is my process, but the truth is it's always just a mess. Every piece, I kind of have a sense of the thing that I want to make. And then each piece kind of is its own weird dance to try to coax the music out of my brain and my heart and the air. Basically, if I'm setting, like with all the virtual choir pieces, they're all poems to be sung. Right? And so it always starts with the words. Even if I'm writing the words myself, I write the words first and then I write the music. I want to make sure that the words say exactly what they need to say and are very meaningful to me. And then what I do is I try to, this will sound abstract, but I try to hear the music that's buried underneath the words themselves. Sometimes it's very obvious. The poet has suggested something and then I just do what the poet suggests. But then sometimes I kind of have to find this emotional quality underneath. And I spend a lot of time either walking around and humming to myself or sitting at the piano where I'm at now, just improvising, trying to find the right combination of notes. And when I've got a little sniff of what I call a golden brick, just a moment that works, then I know, okay, that's, I always describe this to my son as a key in Zelda. I know you're a bit of a gamer, but I don't know if you play Zelda at all, but it's that key that takes you to the next level. And so I'm always looking for just that one thing that takes me to there. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. How many teams does it take to put together the virtual choirs for release?
Did you say how many team?
Yeah, like how many are people? How many people are on the team?
So it's not as many as you'd think. So the last virtual choir, we had 17,572 singers from 129 countries. So you hear those numbers and you think the team must be massive. But the truth is, it's me, and then it's two executive producers, Claire Long and Meg Babies, and those two are geniuses, and they work very hard. And then I think there's four people on the audio team, five people on the video team, and just two people on the internet team. So it's a pretty small team considering what everybody is making.
What would you say is something that you've learned during quarantine that has or will greatly influence your music skills in the future?
Well, I'll tell you, I think it's this. It's I'm not at all a fan of distance learning, this kind of thing. I'd much rather be sitting with you in a room, you know, just talking to you with microphones. We were talking before we started this that I have a 15-year-old son, and I'm watching him do online classes, and I just don't think it's as effective a way. Maybe for some people it's a good way to learn, but I think that he's missing a lot just by not being there in person. And so one thing that I've learned during quarantine is that getting together in a room and making music, singing or playing, is the best. It's the ultimate. I always loved it, of course, but I don't think I realized how much I needed it and how important it is. And so going forward, after we're finished with the pandemic, I will never take that for granted again. I will really do everything I can to make sure that I get to be in person with the people that I want to talk with or to make music with.
So in your entire career, what's the best advice you've gotten?
Early on, a teacher gave me this advice, and I didn't understand it when I was young, but now that I've had a career, I can look back and say, that's it. And basically I was with a group of students and we were asking questions. And I think I asked something along those lines, like, what should a musician know going forward? How do you build a career? And I remember they said, number one, show up on time. Number two, know what you're doing. And number three, be lovely to work with. And I remember thinking, well, yeah, of course, but it's funny now after having made music with so many people around the world, those three things are sometimes rare qualities. Not everybody does all three of those things. And when someone does that, it makes the whole music making process so good. And those are always the people who succeed. They're always the people who are just lovely to work with, are great players and show up on time. They're what I call happy campers. Just want to be around them. Want to make music with them.
Is that the advice you would pass down to music teachers and young singers going on?
Yeah, absolutely. And then to composers, the advice that I would give is that this is a little broader, but I think there's this idea that composing is all about boundless creativity and freedom. And my experience has been actually the best thing you can do is put handcuffs on yourself. To constrict your ideas. And what I mean by that is give yourself these parameters that are difficult to maneuver, right? So the advice I always give to young composers is try to write a piece that's only four notes long and try to, it can only be a minute long or less. And you have to start it at 8 a.m. You have to finish by midnight. Those are difficult parameters. And you think it's impossible. How can I do this? But what happens is, in an effort to satisfy all of those criteria, you get really clever, very, very clever. And that kind of cleverness, that need to survive, is actually where I think the creative spirit comes from. And you come up with incredibly interesting things doing it that way.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
Do you think you've benefited more from your education or experience writing songs?
It's such a good question. By far, 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 my own experience. I think my education, when I look back on it, was very hit and miss. I had a few great teachers who really changed my life and taught me to look at things in a different way. But the totality of my education, I probably could have done in a couple of weekends or with a library card on my own. I would say I'm almost completely self-taught. And I think for an artist especially, I think it's really the only way to do it. You can definitely have guidance from a couple good teachers, but you've got to learn it yourself. You've got to be alone in a room and work. And you not only learn about the music, but you learn about yourself, which is the more important part.
So what are some projects that you've been working on recently?
Well, I recently recorded a piece that I wrote last year, and it's called The Sacred Veil. It's nearly an hour long. It's with piano, cello, and choir. And it's a very difficult subject. The poet lost his wife to ovarian cancer. And he wrote about that. He wrote about the entire journey, about when they fell in love and when they had children and when she got sick and her struggle with cancer and her death. And so I worked very, very hard on that. And then, as you mentioned, with the virtual choir, we just recently launched our latest virtual choir, Virtual Choir 6, which, as I said, has over 17,000 people in it. So that was my, I guess, the beginning of the pandemic. That was my project. And right now, of all things, I'm writing a piece for Christmas. It'll be performed by a choir virtually, not my virtual choir, but another choir in England. And I only say it because it's such an odd experience to be, I don't know how it is where you live, but here it's 85 degrees out. You know, it's sunny. It's the least Christmas feeling atmosphere ever. And so I'm trying to put myself into a Christmas mood.
Before I say this last question, I was part of the virtual choir, and I just wanted to thank you for bringing music into...
Wait, which one?
Dark Time 6.
You did it?
I sang soprano while I still could.
Did your voice break since then?
Yeah. It went down, and I lost my entire upper range.
It'll come back. You'll find your voice again. I'm so sorry that your voice broke, but I'm so happy that you're in virtual choir. That's amazing. That's really... So did you find yourself in the video?
I haven't yet. Still working on it.
Yeah, it's. Believe me, you are in there somewhere, but it's crazy, right? There's so many faces. But did you see your name in the?
Yeah, I saw my name in the credits.
Amazing! Thank you for doing it.
It was so much fun. And then after that, I got inspired, so I volunteered to edit for a nearby children's theater who is doing a virtual musical, where they have everyone singing together, and I took some ideas from you, of how to do it, and it's coming together pretty good.
No way. That is really cool. What musical are they doing?
It's a new musical by Beat by Beat Press. It's The Show Must Go Online.
That's clever.
I believe they wrote it at the beginning of March.
Oh, geez.
When this all happened.
Man, people are so creative, aren't they? And I love that you're making your own. It's a pain, isn't it?
It takes a lot of time.
Yeah, a lot of time, right? So many people wrote to me when we started the pandemic and said, how do you make these virtual choirs? Is there an app? You know, what's the secret? And now you know the secret. The secret is there is no secret. It's just hours and hours and hours of like meticulous editing, trying to put it all together. I would love to see it when you're finished with it.
I'll send it to you.
Yeah, please do. That's amazing. It's really cool. So are you a composer also, Mason?
I try sometimes, but it doesn't always come out the best.
I know that feeling. And do you want to be a musician?
More musical theater side of that, going towards that. My entire wall's posters, but you can't really see it with my camera angle.
And your favorite musicals?
My favorite musicals are Waitress, Wicked, Dear Evan Hansen, and Hamilton.
Mine too,
They're
by the way.
Amazing.
Yeah, amazing. I couldn't agree more. You know, I tried writing a musical for years and years. I've been working on one, and I still haven't solved it. But I want to. I think when people get it right, like Hamilton, it's an art form at a level that nothing else can achieve. right? It's got everything. It's got all the beauty of the music, the characters, the grandeur of storytelling of opera, but then it's happening in real time, and it's funny and smart, and yeah, it's such an elevated art form. So you want to be a performer or also write them?
I'm trying to get into like all aspects that I can, just in case one fails. So I've done tech crew for stuff like lighting, design, stage management, all of that, and then also performing in, I think, over 20 shows now.
And now you're even editing a virtual one, so which is in a way very much like directing. That's fantastic. So this is really your dream, is to just have a life in the theater, basically. So
yes.
I'm sure you'll get it, Mason. That's really exciting.
Well, thank you so much for saying that. I actually have an opening night this Friday for Into the Woods. I'm Jack.
No way! But you're doing it all online?
No, this one's actually in person. We have a huge amphitheater here. So we can have like 300 people in the audience spread out. And we're spread out on stage too, because it's 80 feet wide. So it works pretty well.
Congratulations. I wish I was there to see it. That's a great part.
Thank you.
I'm starting to write lyrics now. You know, I wrote them for Virtual Choir 6 and this Christmas piece I'm doing as well. And I have such respect for Lin-Manuel and Stephen Schwartz and Stephen Sondheim. They're just, the lyrics are, they're unreal, aren't they? They're so good.
Sometimes difficult, but so good when it all comes together.
Yeah, difficult for sure, right? And I would imagine just remembering them. But what I'm always amazed with them is that they write these lyrics that rhyme and are super clever, but they speak only from the character, right? They don't lose their way. You really understand the character, and the character would only say that. It's a gift, those people who can do that.
Is there anything else you'd like to add before we go our separate ways?
Not to embarrass you on your own show here, but just, this is amazing what you're doing, Mason. Super cool. I've got high hopes for you. I think you're going to go really far, do really well. I'm honored to be on the show. You know, back before pandemic, I would come through Indiana not unregularly. I spent a lot of time in Bloomington, you know, because of the university there. And I think I've performed in Indianapolis. So anyway, this is a long way of saying maybe one day we can meet in person. And hopefully I'll have my son with me, who's, like I said, basically your age. He's a jazz bass player. And also Hamilton is his favorite musical by far. So there's a lot of something to talk about right at the beginning.
Well, thank you so much for saying that. And thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, it's my pleasure.
She didn't tell me to say this, but my choir teacher, she always talks about how you're her favorite conductor. So I just wanted to tell you hi for her.
That's really cool. So I'll do this so you can clip and say, thank you for all you're doing. Teaching is the most noble profession there is, and especially during this time. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. And thank you for helping super talented students like Mason, realize their dream. Thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure, Mason. Good luck with everything. And please send me that video once you've got it all edited. I'd love to see it.
I will.
All right. And good luck Friday night.
If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.